Let's get started. Welcome to Circulus, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. This is the spin-off game, Pack Tactics, with an all-kobold group. It is so much fun to play. Tonight's episode is episode 9, called Kobold Farm. Are we farming kobolds, or are the kobolds farming? And does Daldane... And does Daldane, in fact, know all the lines to Old MacDonald?
Old MacDonald had a farm. Wait a minute.
And on that farm, he had a sloth. Wait, with a... hold on. Okay, so... With me are some wonderful people who we've already heard several of them. We've got Chris, we've got Ellie, we've got Jen, we've got Io. And in our last episode, previous week, there were some things that happened. The devices that one Fiddle Punch Iron Wrench had placed inside the kobold stronghold didn't seem to be working as intended after a while. There were a lot of things that came through, including a bunch of undead led by a familiar face, rotting as it was. Tim the Deathlock was there and managed to kill some things and thanked Zili for the hat and then let them know that there was a war coming and maybe they should keep their heads down, then wandered off into the snow. After that, there was another attack where a bunch of Gru went after Sox. Sox is Chris's character, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I swear the two of you do need to get t-shirts where one says I'm Sox and the other one says I'm Gox. Or he's Sox and he's Gox with arrows pointing in the other direction. That works too. Okay. So Sox was attacked by a bunch of Gru. Gru are very low-level creatures, so Sox was very easily able to handle it, but started going into PTSD mode immediately afterwards. And there was discussion about maybe going someplace else, because perhaps these things were targeting Sox specifically. Sox certainly felt that way. And there was the idea that maybe you could go to Meepo's farm. Not that Meepo owns the farm, but that's how all the kobolds see it. To ask for advice or see what could be done, things like that. It just so happened that a tunnel had already been dug to the farm previously, so that made things a bit easier. Most of the party took the tunnel. Zili hung back a little bit to widen the tunnel at Daldane's suggestion, just in case the rest of the Chipped Claw clan needed a quick escape route, if I can speak properly, from the goblin tunnels. And they got to the farm, explored it, did not see anyone in the farmhouse other than a very badly wounded but still alive and bandaged Fiddle Punch Iron Wrench in one of the bedrooms. He was unconscious when they found him. Daldane had gone out into the snow because she was one of the two that had a ring that made her immune to cold weather, and sort of got snowballed down a hill, and there was a lake involved that was under the snow. That was pleasant for nobody. And ended up covered in snow by the time she got to the barn. And they immediately yelled out to Gox, who was able to see through the upstairs bedroom window, "Hey, look, I'm a Yeti." And that's pretty much where we ended it. It was a wonderful little amusing moment. And that's where we're going to start this up again. As soon as, Daldane, you exclaim, "Hey, look, I'm a Yeti," and Gox looks through the window and waves, and you wave back, the barn door opens.
Okay.
There is...
Zip my pants up again.
I hate you. There is, on the other side of the barn door, a very large armored figure that... seems to be made of fire, but they are wearing plate mail, and they are holding a large sword that also seems to be made of fire, and they are holding it up over their head, and they're saying, "Don't worry, I'll kill the Yeti." Wait.
I don't know.
Aren't you a little short for a Yeti?
My name's Dalton. I'm here to rescue you.
Thank you, but I'm the one who rescues, kind of. I have rescued. I don't just stand in guard.
You're stuck in a barn, though.
I'm not stuck here. I'm keeping the sheep warm. And this armored figure motions, and you see the barn is, in fact, full of sheep who seem to be quite comfortable.
Those sheep need rings like the ones I've got.
They need what?
Never mind.
I thought rings were given to cows.
Sheep can have rings, too.
That sounds weird. I mean, have you heard of that? And you hear a voice from further in the barn go,
it's happened, but it's not usually that common.
And you see another gnome walking towards the door. This one is wearing leather armor. His beard is green and looks like it's got bits of tree bark and vines and stuff in it, kind of like it's growing through his beard. And he approaches and says, are you a kobold?
Yes.
Huh.
We're friends with Mizbo.
Ah, that makes sense. I thought you were cold-blooded.
Well, I have a ring.
Okay.
It lets me stay out in the snow.
Okay. Can I help you?
Well, we were here to see if this place would be suitable to bring our little kobold clan because we're under attack by evil things.
Would these evil things have perhaps too many arms?
Some of them.
Would they also be scary, lipless monsters with big fangs?
Some of those, too.
Would they also be giant, hideous creatures with see-through skin?
Now, that one I don't know about.
Ah. Well, unfortunately, we do.
Well, I'm sorry to say that.
And Ross pipes up, I saved them!
I guess he kind of helped a little. In any case, I'm not sure how much help we can be. We're kind of refugees ourselves right now.
So it's not just us that's being attacked by those.
Oh, no, not just you. They went after Fiddle pretty bad.
Huh. Well, that's good to know. It's always a shame when a musical instrument gets hurt, but...
No. Fiddle Punch, my husband.
Oh. Wait a minute. I know a gnome named Fiddle Punch.
At this point, the gnome you're talking to turns towards the suit of armor and says,
okay, so, Ross, I'm pretty sure Mr. Fluffy Tail is going to be just fine. He's just hibernating. Squirrels do that. Okay? You don't need to be worried anymore. All right?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go check on Fiddle.
And he turns towards you again, Daldane, and says,
by the way, my name is Lucanidae. Pleased to meet you. And he extends a hand.
Daldane shakes the hand. I'm Dalton. And I'm not actually a Yeti.
I gathered. And anyway, I don't happen to have a ring that protects you from the cold, and it's freezing out here. I'm used to jungles. I'm going inside.
Okay. I'll come with you.
Give me a dexterity check. Okay. You fare pretty well on the way up. You know which parts are slippery and which parts have better footing.
And which parts are lake.
And which parts are lake. Let's say you had some reconnaissance work that you have previously done in order to scout out the most advantageous places to put your feet. Lucanidae rolled a natural one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So he goes, whoop, and there is suddenly a gnome-shaped concavity in a snowbank that is rapidly going deeper. And you hear a few words that your assumption is that they are profanities of various types, but they are in gnomish. So.
Can I see him?
You would have to approach the snowbank.
I approach the snowbank.
Okay. You do not see him. The hole is quite deep.
Are you okay down there?
You hear a voice from behind you. Yeah, just embarrassed.
Oh, that's a neat trick.
Thanks. Druids pick up tricks. Let's get inside. And so and he marches off again. And this time I rolled a 2. Let it be known that the 2 and the 1 are on almost opposite sides of the die. So the die is rolling really well, all things considered. It's just the numbers are low. So he after showing off by teleporting, he immediately takes a step forward and trips over a hardened chunk of ice under the snow and lands flat on his face. His ego takes 2d6 points of damage. You can faintly hear him saying through the snow, I left the orc-infested jungles for this. And he teleports again. So, Gox and Sox, there is now a snow-covered, leather-clad gnome in the room with you. He also looks very upset.
I stand in front of Sox, and I try to look menacing just in case he's here to attack.
And I've got a radiant sun orb in my left hand, just looking at him.
Okay, give me an insight check.
Both of us?
Yes.
Okay.
I imagine who might roll higher than the other.
I've rolled a 16 somehow.
I've rolled a 12.
Okay. So, Sox, you're ready to do whatever you need to do. Gox, you get the impression that this gnome is not here for you at all. He is dismayed by something else altogether. And he's really only here for Fiddle Punch, who is currently bandaged up in bed.
Okay. So I say, hi, how did you get here?
By rocket.
I start looking around for a rocket. Okay.
It's 2 miles that way. And he points out the window.
It okay.
It was a fun ride.
Did you help Fiddle Punch? Something happened to him, and I don't know how to help.
Yeah, I was there. Fiddle never really was much of an adventurer. He doesn't go into battle very well, let's put it that way. I was pretty much fending off everything myself.
Is he going to be okay?
He'll pull through. He probably just needs to rest a while. I used all my healing spells.
Okay. Well, since you're not here to attack, hi. I'm Gox. I'm Meepo's friend. And I reach out to shake his hand.
He shakes your hand. The name's Lucanidae. And who's the fiery orb-wielding person behind you?
This is my brother, Sox.
Yeah, I'm Sox.
Nice to meet you, Sox. Zeely, at this point, you have managed to widen the tunnel. It's more of a cavern, because I don't think Zeely is the kind of sorcerer to do things by halves.
No.
So it's quite possible that if the kobolds went marching through this, they could go all the way across and still only be like 2 rows deep. But you know, you wanted to make sure that people wouldn't be crowded. It's economical to do it this way. But you have reached the ladder that leads up to the farmhouse.
Zeely climbs up.
Okay, you climb up and find yourself face to face with 2 gargoyles. The best part is the player hasn't been through this part either. One of them seems to be covered in glitter. The other one looks like it was standing too close to the first one when the first one got covered in glitter.
And glitter-covered gargoyles aren't my problem.
Okay. The rest of this basement area seems to be primarily for storage of foodstuffs. There is one area where the shelves were sort of like moved around to create a sort of walled-off temporary room space. with a door attached, and there's a sign on the door that says keep out. There is also a staircase leading up.
Zaylee starts going up the staircase.
You find yourself in an empty house, but you hear voices upstairs.
More staircases!
Okay. The staircase goes on forever. Occasionally you find yourself upside down. You do find a door plate that says Residence of MC Escher. None of this is true. But that would make for a fun gaming experience. I gotta take some notes. All right, so you do definitely hear Gox and Sox talking to a gnome. You've come to recognize the timbre of a gnomish voice. And at this point, Daldane, you have reached the front door, and Ross has followed you.
Zaylee! Okay. Sorry.
Is there a fire going inside?
There is, in fact. The inside is quite toasty warm.
Then Daldane is going to park herself by the fire and warm up.
Okay. Ross comes by with a mop and starts mopping up around you as the snow slowly melts off of you. Which it happens to do faster because Ross has also made a fire.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Can I get you anything? We have oatmeal and burned oatmeal. I think we have some hay.
No, thanks. I'm good.
Zaylee strides into the room. Hello, everyone. I have been molding the ground to... She switches to common. Well, situation has been interesting.
Yeah, pretty much.
You could say that. Okay, so to give a little bit of exposition in a faster manner, Lucanidae studies happen on an island far to the north in the more tropical region of Circulus. He studies a lot of beetles and stuff. You've discovered that gnomes tend to pick an area of study and just sort of focus on that single-mindedly. However, he was making a visit to Fiddlepunch because they've been trying to get things sorted out after a falling out that they had many decades ago. And right in the middle of a wonderful cup of tea, a lot of horrible things decided to attack the tower that they were in. There were usually a number of magical wards that protected it from things like this. None of them did anything, which was a shame. There were also some mechanical safeguards. Those worked pretty well, but eventually got destroyed. And one of the last things that they were able to do was there was a rocket that Fiddlepunch had been working on that Lucanidae had managed to shove Fiddle into, climb in himself, and press the shiny red button. And then he rolled really low on a check and crashed a few miles from the farm. Ross and his companion Jackson managed to find the rocket. It was kind of easy to spot. Went and found the gnomes. Lucanidae was relatively uninjured. And that brings you up to speed.
Well, situation has been being interesting.
You can say that again.
So, if we were to bring a bunch of kobolds here, do you think it'd be a safe place?
What happened where they are now?
Well, there were the horse dogs, and there were the things with too many arms, and, you know.
We will have the camera fade to black and then fade back in and assume that you have given him the backstory. So, all right. Well, I can give you some information. The worst birds are called the wretched, but I kind of like worst bird better. That's a good name. I'm going to put that in my notes. Worst dogs are Hounds of Tyndalos.
Who's Tyndalos?
Who or what is a Tyndalos?
I don't know. That's not my area of study. I have done some research with planar travel, but mostly to the Feywild, and it doesn't really help in the situation. But Hounds of Tyndalos tend to target beings that travel between the planes. It's like a marination for them. They become tastier.
Well, that explains a bit.
Yeah. Don't know anything about
Tim. That one was kind of tasty when I was a worse dog. But I don't think I'd like it otherwise.
You've already told me this part, and it gets more disturbing every time you bring it up.
Oh, sorry.
You were a worst dog?
It wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. Daldane did. And then I could go out in the snow and make snowballs and stuff.
The image of a Hound of Tyndalos making snowballs, I admit, is kind of amusing and disturbing at the same time. That said, if they're attacking in more than one place at once, I'm not entirely sure there is a safe place we can go.
Hmm.
I mean, normally they're focused on locations where there's been a lot of extra-dimensional travel already. That was happening in Fiddlepunch's workshop. He'd been doing some research into it recently. I don't understand a lot of what he was doing. Not my field of study again. What were you doing to go from one place to another?
Babysitting.
Uh-huh.
Accurate.
And the baby sent us there. Or one did. I don't know which one.
There was this dragon, and we killed it.
And I'm wearing part of him now.
And he's wearing part of it now. And it had all these magic things in its hoard. And, well, the babies we were sitting may have gotten a hold of one. And then we went to the Shadowfell and met Tim and met worse things.
Tim was nice. Tim was not a worse thing. Tim turned out to be really helpful. But, yeah, that.
Right, Tim's not a worse thing.
No.
He's an undead warlock serving a power that wishes to control the world.
But he helped us get back home. He didn't have to.
He was probably bored, to be honest.
Gox shrugs. Like,
well, I like whatever. I gave him my hat, and he thanked me.
That was very polite of him, I'm sure. Look, forgive me. I'm a bit testy. I'm out of spells. And I've had a pretty rough past 24 hours.
Hmm.
Did the babies you were babysitting that sent you elsewhere come with you?
To here or to there?
I'm going to think more in lines of immediate danger and say to here.
No.
Not yet.
Oh, no. We need to get them.
Well, if we bring everybody, then they'll come with.
No. They're going after people doing travel. Go other places. Babies went other places.
They did, yeah. Okay, we gotta go back and catch the babies.
Daldane, you hear some commotion from below.
Hmm. Well, I'll head over to the downward staircase and check it out.
Okay. Ross follows you. As you go down into the basement, you see that there is a growing number of kobolds coming up into the basement. Some of them have already opened the door that says keep out and gone in there, because, of course. And there are three flying baby kobolds that have already come over and sat down on top of your head. And Ross is going, oh, they're so cute.
Don't let them bite your tail. What's going on?
Oh, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have a tail. I mean, it'd be cool if I did. I should talk to a blacksmith about that. So one of the kobolds that is coming into the basement says,
hey, so remember when you said it would be a good idea to make the tunnel wider in case an attack happened again?
Mm-hmm.
An attack happened again.
Uh-oh. Is anybody hurt?
Probably. Most of us ran right for the tunnels as soon as it happened.
All right.
The basement is getting more and more full of kobolds. Imagine, if you will, a tub that is slowly filling with water, like if you were draining a tub, but play that video in reverse
and change the water into cobalts.
Well, it's going to happen sooner or later.
What's the golem's name?
Ross.
Ross, okay. Okay, everybody upstairs and listen to Ross.
Ross immediately stands up a bit straighter.
Oh, God.
I love this so much. I don't have to do much at this point. There is so much established lore for certain characters that players who have encountered these characters with other characters immediately just have their imagination go in certain directions.
We need to get babies coming back soon. And Zili is going to go dashing in the direction of getting the babies.
Okay, you are immediately tackle-hugged by 3 flying kobolds.
Oh, as she's running off, easier than I expected.
As she's running off, I just lean over to Gox and say, did she just say she's going to go have babies?
I heard babies, but... they found her.
That was easier than I expected. Oh no.
Wow, they're really cute. Bad.
They are really cute.
I know, right?
Uh-huh. They're just so cute.
Kennedy reaches out and gives one of them a chin scratching.
I'm not a crash minder. They are really cute, but why are they here already? I mean, we didn't take them.
We should go find out. I'm gonna go see who brought them here. I'm gonna start going down the stairs.
Should I show them my radiant sun orb again?
No. That didn't work well last time.
I thought it worked really well.
You nearly killed one.
Exactly.
No, don't kill kobolds. There's plenty of other stuff to kill, and if the kobolds are all here, something's probably chasing them. Kill those instead.
Zili, did you come back into the bedroom where Fiddle Punch is when you got tackle hugged, or no?
Apparently. I mean, okay. I've been talking to the others, so yeah.
Well, you could have been talking from the hallway, but I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so with the talk about going down and checking things out, you look into the hallway and find that it is already full of kobolds.
Oh, that's not good.
Some of them are going into the other rooms. Gox, you remember the rooms were locked. Apparently, some kobolds do have skill in picking locks. And very, very little interest in staying out of things.
Hey!
Well, at least they're safe. At least they're safe. They're here.
So, everyone's here. What happened?
Big monsters. We ran.
What did the monsters look like, and are they chasing you here?
I don't know.
Okay.
I heard people getting monsters, head for the tunnel. So I ran.
I'm gonna head for the tunnels and stop the monsters that might be coming.
Let's do that.
I'm making sure everybody's out of the basement.
Eventually, the last of the kobold refugees does come through. But there is a limit to how many of them can get out of the basement. Now, those of you who are on the second floor and wish to go downstairs, you are going to have to get past the kobolds that are blocking your way. How you do it, I will leave up to you. You let me know what strategy you want to try, and I will tell you what you need to roll to do it.
Okay, I'm going to pick up each kobold in my way, put him over my shoulder, and kind of try to displace him that way, and then just keep going one by one.
Parkour.
It's kind of like, except the buildings move around you as opposed to you moving around the buildings. So that's going to be a strength athletics check.
Okay. I've got a 14 on the dice. Strength is +3. Athletics is +6. I don't know which one you want.
So you easily do this. And anyone watching just sees kobolds going up into the air, moving over a couple feet, and then moving back down again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm just going to move him out of the way.
At a fairly decent rate of speed because of how high you rolled. So it's kind of like you're tunneling underneath them. Imagine, if you will, a kobold version of Bugs Bunny.
Oh.
This, however, does not clear the way for other individuals wishing to go downstairs. Who else wants to try?
Parkour!
Seelie clears her throat. Ahem! I am a sorcerer. There is a bad thing down there to deal with, and I am impatient.
Okay, give me...
I'm just jumping across our heads.
I'm going to resolve these simultaneously. So that's obviously going to be an acrobatics check for Sox and an intimidation check for Zeely. At advantage, because they've seen you and the evidence of you at your worst.
21.
20. Not natural.
I like this. Okay, so this is what's going to happen. You both do an excellent job. Some of the kobolds are scampering out of Zeely's way so quickly that they are climbing over other kobolds, some of them going up the walls. And between this cacophony of kobolds, there is a ping pong ball named Sox bouncing between them in this three-dimensional space as if gravity is not a thing.
Okay.
I love this game so much. Okay, so you all managed to get downstairs. The downstairs is just as crowded as upstairs. Ross is giving orders and acting like everyone's following the orders, but nobody's listening to him.
Hey, fire guy, we need to go down there and fight things.
He gives you a thumbs up.
You look tough. You protect these.
He gives you two thumbs up.
And Zeely sort of holds the babies in his general direction, but doesn't hand them to him because he might set them on fire.
This is... Okay, I just realized that Zeely is concerned about something being set on fire.
Well, yeah, fire goes where she... Fire's supposed to go where she wants it to go.
I know, and I understand the reasoning. I'm not questioning whether or not it's in character or not. I'm just amused by the situation that for once in her life, she's concerned about things being burned.
Question from the person who wasn't here.
For once in her life, it's not her burning them.
Who on the farm have we actually met? Ross, Lucanide.
You've seen Fiddle Punch, but he is unconscious. Punch, yeah.
Anyone else, or just those three?
That's all we've seen. You've heard Mr. Fluffy Tail mentioned by name, but he is apparently hibernating.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of sheep and a squirrel.
You've seen the sheep, you have not seen the squirrel. Okay.
So everybody gets down to the basement, I'm going to put my hands on my hips and say, well, it took you long enough.
Well, we kind of had stuff in our way.
I had to jump over a lot of kobolds.
I bet you had fun with that, too.
It was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Upstairs, you hear Ross's voice going, okay, now I need you to not go in there. That's the larder. And, okay, now that you're in the larder, I need you to not take all of the preserves and knock them down because those jars are very fragile. Okay, now we are going to need to get a broom to clean up all the broken glass. Be careful.
I don't think they're listening to him.
Imagine that continuing forever.
Hello, everybody. Ross is made of fire. If he gets angry, he will burn the house down and then you will freeze to death. Listen to him.
You heard him. I'm very scary. You should listen to me. I rolled a 3 on my intimidation check. This is not helping.
You know what would be really helpful? And I think Jane and I are both just thinking it. Where's Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably out on patrol doing the thing that he was told to do.
Yeah, he's doing that.
Now, I'm going to give him advantage just because Daldane did try to help.
Help, yeah.
And for the second roll, I did roll a natural 20.
Yay.
Good.
You hear several kobolds screaming at the same time, where's a broom? We need a broom! We got to clean this up! Quick, put back all the stuff you stole. I didn't steal it. I just found it here. Put it back where you found it. I found it in my pocket.
Let's go deal with whatever horrible thing is attacking now.
Where did you find it before you found it in your pocket? I don't remember. We're doomed.
Okay, they're fine.
It in your pocket.
They're normal. They're fine. Yeah, they're doing kobold normal things. Let's go take care of the bad guys.
Seeley hands the baby kobolds to someone at random and starts wandering towards where the attack apparently is.
The kobolds immediately fly out of the hands of the person you hand them to and fly off. But not toward the danger. Away from the danger. So you're assuming it's okay.
Yeah, probably fine.
It's probably going to be fine is something that many adventurers have thought of over the years, and they have always been correct. You go down into the basement and down below the basement to the tunnel, the now quite wide tunnel. And are those alcoves every 20 feet with torch sconces? They are. Nice. There are no actual torches, though, because kobolds can see in the dark. And as soon as you get down into this tunnel space, you leave the noise and chaos. Oddly, a large amount of chaos for a lawful creature behind. And now it's very, very still and quiet and dark.
It's quiet. Too quiet.
Okay, I'm going to look around and see if I can see anything kind of hiding in the shadows or something like that.
Give me a perception check.
Okay. 13, and perception is plus 3.
Okay. You are fairly certain that you are the only beings within your range of dark vision, which is 60 feet.
Okay.
With that rule, I will also say you haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything here. If stuff got into the warren, I don't think it followed them all the way here.
Now, all right, granted, good. Let's go deal with the stuff in the warren then.
Okay.
Well, we should check that out.
Okay. Well, you're all already right in the tunnel to head there.
Start walking.
So let's skip through a portion of this journey by having an intermission. We have been playing for a little less than an hour.
Okay.
Also, Chris just went AFK, so let's not have a roll for initiative right as he's AFK. That would be mean.
Who
am I kidding?
Mean.
You should totally do that, but no. No, let's not. Okay, so you have been walking down this long tunnel, which you've walked down before. It was not this wide when you walked down it before, except for Zeely. You know exactly what you did. You made.
Oh, I do, and I am very proud of it.
Yes. You may have even outdone yourself. Like, there's this one spot here where it was starting to cave in a little bit, but you added some structural support made from the very rock that was caving in. It's such a nice touch. And architecturally, it fits in with the rest of it. No one would know it unless you pointed out to them.
Which she did.
Okay. Yeah, so you're just hearing Zeely point out, hey, now this part right here, if this wasn't here, millions of tons of rock would be crushing us right now.
You're so reassuring.
Show off.
It was the might of her magic that did it.
Exactly. That should be very reassuring.
Show off.
The fact that I can...
Show off. Show off.
Okay. We're about
you
to go fight some monsters.
With a radiant
monsters.
Well, he did, yeah. Guys, we need to go find whatever things chase the kobolds here. Can we, like, not fight each other, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. Let's go. I start leading them down the tunnel.
When you yell echo, you don't hear anything.
Oh.
When did Gox become the peacemaker?
Sucks.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Did they all hear that?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah?
God. Nope.
Where is it?
It's coming from the direction you're heading. It's coming from the Kobold Warrens. Now, you're nowhere near the Kobold Warrens yet, but I'm just referring to the directions. You got the tunnel behind you that leads to the farm. Tunnel in front of you leads to the Warrens. That echoing voice came from in front of you.
Okay. Do we know how far we are from the Warren? Are we like right there? We like still got a ways to go.
I'm going to say you're at the halfway point.
At the halfway point. Okay.
Zeely activates her cloak of displacement.
Zeely, apparently for everyone else, sidesteps 6 feet to the left.
Okay.
She's slipping through the wall just a little bit.
Yeah. So lots of Zeelys, right?
No. Just one. The way displacement, it's like a displacer beast, where what's going on is you see Zeely, and everything Zeely does, you see, but where Zeely is, so far as you see, is not where Zeely is for real. Like when you're looking at a straw going into a cup of water.
Okay, and, that makes
and,
sense.
Yeah, there's some shearing going on. Only all of her is in another location.
Okay, I got it.
And you can probably submit a trouble ticket for the clipping. That's a programming error. I'm sure they'll get it patched in the next update.
Right. Okay, so this giant-sounding thing just yelled at my brother, so I would like to rage and get ready for whatever's coming.
Okay. I think it's safe to say at this point there is no such thing as a surprise round.
Yeah.
Give me an initiative roll, everybody.
Okay.
Where is my pen?
I have a 10.
Remember, you have advantage. On
initiative. Oh, plus 2 for initiative. So
Jen,
that's...
you have advantage on initiative, so roll again.
Roll it again. Okay. That one hit my keyboard. That one's a 5.
Okay,
so I have 10 plus 2, and then there we are, I think.
13.
10.
20. I don't know, 24. No, 22.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I can't count today.
Socks. Socks' really. Initiative is a 24 and climbing.
It's 22. 22. It was an 18 plus 4.
Now, you see, in my brain, you kept having the number go up. So when you said 22, I wrote down 24 because I'm like, okay, well, I'll head it off with the pass. Z is 13. Gox is 10. What was Daldane's?
10.
Okay, who's got a higher dexterity modifier?
I have a plus 2.
Same thing.
Which one do you want to go first?
I thought yours was 12.
You rolled a 10.
I'm reading the wrong number. Two. Yeah, I rolled a 10, and I have a plus 2 initiative.
So 12.
Yeah.
Well, Daldane has a plus 3 to initiative, so I'm going to have Daldane go first.
Okay. Yeah, but I rolled a 7.
But he rolled a 7.
Yeah, but if...
She.
Yeah, but she rolled a 10. He rolled a 7. It's 12 and 10, not 12, not 10 and 10. That's what I'm saying. She didn't add a modifier.
Gox didn't have... Okay, I get it.
Yeah, she didn't
add numbers. Mm-hmm.
So she... Yeah.
Well...
So, yeah, that.
We got over an hour in before we had a discussion about the nature of numbers. So I'm saying we're doing pretty good.
We're doing good. Usually it's like the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who's talking about what anymore.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Welcome to Circulus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that roll. That's a good
roll. Ailey added her modifier, but Jen didn't add her. That's all it was.
And instead of writing the word baddie for the monster, I wrote daddy, which is not the same thing.
No.
That would be a different fight. Its lair action would be not mad, just disappointed.
Oh, no.
And things would just go downhill from there. Okay, I am set. All right, so out from the darkness, because your dark vision is 60 feet, so you can see this thing coming, approaches... a very large creature, a creature that would not have been able to traverse through the tunnels had Zeely not improved upon them so well.
Darn it.
It's a feature, not a bug, because otherwise you'd have to fight it in the Goblin Warrens itself. So you should be grateful that Zeely made the tunnel this large. She's helping. Don't you forget it.
Okay.
This creature is quite large, about the size of an ogre. But it's not built like an ogre. It doesn't have any fat anywhere on it. It's all muscle. Its skin is translucent, so you can see the muscle moving underneath the skin. It's got large, evil-looking eyes They're pale. They're almost glowing in the darkness. They're not actually giving off light, but they would luminesce under a black light. Let's put it that way. But none of you tends raves, so you wouldn't really realize this. Well, I don't want to speak for your characters. Maybe you do intend raves. I don't know what you do on the weekends. Duldane,
I don't know. I don't have dancing lights, so...
I just had this image of Duldane, like, at in front of a record player with headphones held up to one side of her head. Not to an ear, because you don't have those, but still. She'd be standing on a soapbox because they're, or a milk crate, because otherwise she wouldn't reach over the table. Oh, wait. Yeah, we were in combat. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this thing runs forward into your line of sight, but it's not, with its current movement, able to make it all the way to you. It stops 30 feet away at the end of its turn. And that would have been, let's say that would have been the surprise round had there been one. Socks, you're up.
Thank you. I'm going to run at it.
Okay.
I'm going to do two attacks with my short sword. I'm the only one here, so I'll roll for both attacks right away. So that's a plus 7, so 15.
15 will not hit.
Okay, then neither of my attacks hit.
Okay. However, you are now within 5 feet of this thing, which means everyone else gets pack tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Roll credits.
And as a bonus action, I will spend a key point to do patient defense.
What does that do?
Yeah, what is
that? Patient defense means that... that's not monk. Where is it? Patient defense. There it is. You spend a key point to take the dodge action as a bonus act. Oh, wait. Can I do that with cunning action anyway? No, I can't. That's just dash, disengage, or hide. Okay, so spend a key point, dodge action.
Okay, what's the dodge action?
Any attack that's done to me is done at disadvantage.
Okay.
Till my next turn.
As opposed to the doge action, which should be wow.
Yeah.
Much monk.
Very
fury of blows. Or furry of blows if it's doge.
Why?
Because.
You're not funny.
I didn't say I was. I did say that I am a collection of pop culture references and memes held together with a string of bad puns. All right. Okay, so I've got good news and bad news for you. The good news is that's not a wasted key point.
Okay.
The bad news is it is now this Starspawn Hulk's turn.
Okay.
And you are the only one within range of it.
Yep.
Okay, so it is... should I do that? No, it's not going to do that. That wouldn't make sense right now. It is, however, going to do a multi-attack. It is going to try to slam you twice with its giant fists of fury. And let's take a roll. That is a 25. Because it's rolling with disadvantage. So that the first number is a 25, the second number is a 17.
Mess just.
Okay. Now, does that dodge action, is that for the entire round, or is that just for the first attack?
Every attack done to me until the end of until the start of my next turn.
Okay. So that first strike slams down, you dodge out of the way just barely, it smashes on the ground and shatters the stone underneath you, the crack spreading from a small concavity that has been created by the fist. Being destroyed in front of you. This next attack, let's see, that is a 15 or a lot higher than 15, so the second attack is a 15.
Mess.
Okay.
Yes, I've just double checked. Until the start of your next turn, all attack rolls against you have disadvantage.
Okay, so now there is a break in the floor underneath you, and a wall sconce has been smashed to pieces next to you as you are casually, or not so casually, depending on your demeanor, stepping out of the way of this thing. Next is Zeely's turn.
Well, big thing, you made a mistake.
Burn it.
Yeah, that's the plan.
It got involved in a land war in Asia? This Princess Bride, anyone?
I've seen it.
I haven't seen it, actually.
I've seen it too many times. I didn't want to talk through somebody's action.
All right. Sorry, I need to check something because I always forget this. Where Dungeons and Dragons?
If I was statted up for Dungeons and Dragons, I would have an ability to stun people with bad jokes. I'm okay with this.
Quickened mirror image. Oh, lovely. Thanks, D&D Beyond. You have discovered a portal to a new plane where things are not working as intended.
Oh, you got an error message.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Sorry, I'm trying to fight my character sheet and the monster at the same time. It's not really working.
What's the character sheet's initiative? I don't have them on my list here. I should probably roll for them.
Well, at least it's not damage resistant like mine was.
No, I just tried to spend sorcery points and it sent me to the plane of errors.
Whoops.
Anyway, quickened mirror image and chromatic orb.
That's a classic.
Yes. Fire okay. Chromatic orb as a second level spell.
Okay, and you are rolling with advantage because Sox is right there.
I'm helping.
All right. 15.
The orb goes flying off into the darkness. You have successfully attacked the darkness. Unfortunately, the Starspawn Hulk does not seem phased.
As long as nobody is drunk.
There's also multiples of you. So there's that.
Yeah.
How many mirror images do you have?
I believe 3.
Okay, so there's now 4 Zeelies.
And none of them are actually standing where she's actually standing.
Oh, no. It's like playing the cup game, where you're trying to spot the thing that's under the cup, but it's already somewhere else entirely. It's in the guy's pocket, or whatever. All right, next up is going to be Gox, who is currently raging.
Yep, currently raging. Going to hit him with my battle axe twice. I've rolled a 10. Do I reroll? Somebody remind me how to.
You are doing all of your rolls with advantage because Sox is right there. So long as anyone in your party is near the thing. So yes.
Okay. I've got a 12 this time.
Okay, and your bonus to hit.
Bonus to hit
is a plus 6. No, yeah, plus 6.
Plus 6, and you rolled a 10.
I rolled a 10, and then I also rolled a 12. I think.
Well, the 10 would have been enough, so definitely
okay,
you hit.
That's
the first
fine.
One hits.
Okay. I have hit. All right, so that's
1d10 plus
1d10. Okay, let me get it.
Also, you're raging, so the d6 as well for your radiant damage.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, so the d10 hit my keyboard. Okay, I've got a 5 on the d10, and then the 6 is the d6 has a 5 as well.
Okay, so let me math. So 5 plus 3 is 8 plus 2 for rage, 10. So 10 points of slashing plus 5 and then plus a 4, which is 9 points of radiant. So 19 total.
All right. Now, hold on a second. I got to look at something. That's a normal battle axe? Okay. When the thing I'm wondering, because the subclass for barbarian that you picked is letting you charge your attack, does it turn the attack into like it's used with a magical weapon or no?
No.
I didn't.
So the slashing will be halved if there's a resistance, the radiant won't if there's.
Oh yeah, it is not resistant to radiant damage. I can guarantee that. But it is somewhat resistant to the axe blow itself.
Okay.
But it does scream in rage when you attack it. With a very superficial blow. It's not even going to leave a cool scar. It's going to be an uncool scar.
An uncool scar.
Yeah.
Okay. So do I have 2 actions? Or
you get to hit again.
Because okay. The first two rolls were you rolling for advantage.
I understand. Okay, so I rolled the d10 and the d6
nope,
again?
You rolled nope. the d20 again.
Roll the d20 again. Twice. Okay, I can do that. All right, that one's an 8 on the dice. And this hit. One is a 6. Nice.
Okay, so the first attack hit, the second attack did not.
Okay.
Next up is Daldane.
Daldane will cast Dissonant Whispers as a first level spell.
Okay. What do you whisper?
I will paste it into chat because I can't sing it right now.
You picked the font too. You used the creepy font.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I can't read that at all.
Okay.
I'm catching words here and there. I can't pick them all out, but that's okay.
I'm not going to risk saying that out loud because I know I'll screw it up from the font, but to the heart and mind, ignorance is kind. There is no comfort in the truth. Pain is all that you'll find. Daldane, you get a reply back. It says, so what's your point? Yes, and?
All right.
So that said, for Dissonant Whispers, I have to roll something, correct?
Yeah, it's a wisdom check against a 13.
That is a 19. Does it take any damage or half?
Half damage.
Okay, so what's the damage?
16, so it takes 8.
That's still not too bad. And we got a ways to go, but not too bad. Socks. Oh, wait. Daldane, is there anything else you want to do? Because I know you usually have a sweet bonus action that you want to play with.
Yeah, I'm going to give Socks Bardic Inspiration.
Woo!
So you've got 1d8 to add to any one ability check, attack, roll, or saving throw.
Nice. Ow. I just banged my toe.
All right. So,
Sorry. Don't forget, everybody's still got 10 temporary hit points.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's right. It's sitting there on the character sheet. Good to know.
Well, except for Zili, because I believe she was too far away for that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You did that on the way here, and Zili was staying behind to make the tunnel wider.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Well, if they want to do damage to me, they'll have to hit me.
Good luck with that. It's a target-rich environment. Speaking of targets, Socks, I think you have one in mind.
Yes, I'm going to do 2 unarmed strikes. Screw the short sword. Just do it with the unarmed strikes. It's the same dice now. So I've got advantage because Gox is there, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is 19 to hit for the first.
That's a hit.
And I'm going to spend a key point and do a stunning strike on that as well.
Okay.
So the creature has to succeed a DC 13 constitution saving throw or be stunned until the end of my next round.
A DC what?
DC 13 con save.
So creatures as large as an ogre tend to have a high constitution.
I know, but I'm just trying.
It does make the save. Unfortunately, it was worth the attempt. Now, I have another question. Do your unarmed strikes count as magical weapons?
See, I'm looking at that because I don't know if they do yet.
Eventually they will, but I don't
know
if
they
do yet.
But I don't know yet. Yeah, that's my logic. I'm trying to find it, but I don't see it. If I hadn't multiclassed, probably by now, but it doesn't look like it yet.
Okay, so...
So my short sword's not magical, and my armed honor strikes. This is with sneak attack as well, because I had advantage. What's sneak attack?
Are you a level 6 monk?
No, I'm a level 5 monk, 3 rogue.
Okay. Yeah, it's level 6 that you get key empowered strikes. 8
plus 4, so 12, reduced if it's resisted, so 6 for the first attack.
Okay, and for your next trick?
Second attack. Oh, I rolled natural 17 twice, plus 7, so 24.
That'll hit.
That does not have sneak attack. So 7, are you rounding up or down?
Always round down.
Round down, so that'll be 3. 3 damage total, that's after reduced. Should I... I don't want to spend that key point. I'm going to back away and use my bonus action to disengage and just back up near where Zelia is.
One of the Zelies,
and say, open up your component patch. Open up your component patch. And just wait there.
Zelia opens her component patch.
I've used up all my actions, so I'm waiting. Just do that. Your end of your turn, and I'll do what I'm going to do.
An item to someone as a free action.
Oh, okay. Let me borrow your.
What are you doing?
Which is how the peasant cannon works, actually.
I'm just going to put my hand in there and just take a component, and you'll find out.
I am filled with intrepidation and worry. I'm on board with this. Okay, so the squishy monk rogue stepped away from the giant ogre thing, leaving the very strong armored tank to weather the blows.
Okay.
Probably for the best, all things considered.
Probably for the best.
It is the Starspun Hulk's turn.
Ah, okay.
It is going to make two attacks against you.
Okay.
That is going to be a 21 and a 25.
Okay. So I need some help with the math here.
No, you don't need math yet.
Oh, okay. I'm like, that's a lot of points, but that's not it yet.
That would be, but that's not the damage. That's the rolls to hit.
Okay.
Those are both well over your armor class.
Yep.
Your actual damage, on the other hand, that's 2d8 plus 5, and we are reducing by half because you are raging. So it takes both of these strikes at the same time against you. One fist comes down on one of your shoulders. The other fist comes down the other shoulder, and you sink down into the stone for about an inch. There are now indentations in the floor shaped like your feet, and you take 14 points of damage.
Okay, so I had 10 temporary points.
Those are gone, and you take 4 points
of
damage.
Those are gone. All right, let me get rid of those.
Actually, if you just put in 14 damage and press the damage button, it would take away the temporary and do the 4 points of damage. It does the math for you.
Aha, there we are. Okay, I've done that.
Okay, so how many hit points do you have now?
73.
Okay, so after this immense blow or series of blows, we can imagine a shockwave coming out from the strike. You're still standing there raging.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of looks at you like, no, you're supposed to fall down now.
I growl at it.
Give me an intimidation check.
Okay.
Just to see what happens.
I've rolled a 7, and intimidation is a plus 0 somehow. So, yeah.
You should let Gox use Constitution as an intimidation bonus.
Yeah, it's just...
I should, but I'm just... I rolled as well, and we're going to move on.
Oh.
Next up is Zeely. Oh, here comes the laugh. This is going to be good.
So, how far back are we standing from it again? 30 feet, you said?
You and Daldane and Sox are all about 30 feet away, yes. Well, some Zeelies are 30 feet away. You're kind of a bit scattered at this point. Zeelie Prime is 30 feet away.
All right. So Zeelie sort of uses her movement to go walking right over to the thing.
An army of Zeelies approaches.
She puts a hand on Gox's shoulder. Thunderstep.
Oh, no.
And suddenly...
I don't know what that is either.
I don't know what it is either, but it sounds bad.
You teleport yourself to an unoccupied space you can see within range. Immediately after you disappear, a thunderous boom sounds, and each creature within 10 feet of the space you left must make a constitution saving throw, taking 3d10 thunder damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. And you can all, et cetera, object. You can also teleport one willing creature of your size or smaller who is carrying gear up to its carrying capacity. Basically, I'm pulling Gox back with me so that he doesn't take the damage.
I
rolled the Constitution save while you were talking, and I need to start streaming with a webcam instead of having it all just be text on the screen, because my facial expressions, like, normally I'm told I have a great face for radio, but in this case, when I rolled an 8, just roll the damage. Just roll that beautiful damage.
23.
Not shabby.
And now that we are back standing where we, pretty much where I was before, all right, let's try something else out. You're big. Quickened fireball.
Celia's terrifying.
I know, right?
And I'm going to use a 4th level spell slot. It's time for it to make a dex save.
What's my target roll?
14.
I got news for you. This thing is not very dexterous. But that is an 18.
All right. In that case, I will have to have the damage, but there's still going to be
a lot.
A bunch of damage.
Just a tiny little bit of damage. That's a 43. And that
gets divided by 2. Also, there's a thing I do which I need to check. All right. And there's a +3 because of elemental affinity fire. So that will be another 23 damage.
Wait, another 23 on top?
No. On top of the regular. I rolled a 23, and that's 40, a total of 46, so it divides, and so I did a total of 46 damage this turn.
Total of 46 damage after it's divided in half? Or
No, this turn total.
She rolled 43, She got a +3, divided it in half to get 23.
And I had already rolled a 23 for the thunderstep damage.
This is the ending of Clue, where they're going 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus...
That's okay. A lot of sixes on that roll.
Mm-hmm.
What got me was I'd already taken off damage for the thunderstep. And then you were telling me the damage that you did with the thunderstep damage. Right. That threw me off.
Sorry, okay. There was a lot of damage this turn.
Okay. I would say that it is bloodied. That said, you have done an excellent job of cauterizing the wounds.
So basically what happened was Zeely just walked up to it, put a hand on Gox's shoulder, teleported them back with a burst of thunder, and then fireballed the area.
Very quickly, Crash, if you have my character sheet up, just refresh it, because some of the stuff that I haven't used yet, I've changed around a little bit. I think it'll work better.
I am intrigued and terrified. Okay, so Zeely... You are quite skilled in many things. You did an excellent job of building these tunnels. At this point, I would like you to roll a survival check to see how well you built the tunnels. A note for those of you listening after the fact, all these oh no's happened before Io did any rolling.
Yep.
Okay.
That's not bad.
So
next time on Pack Tactics, we all have new characters.
Because rocks literally fell and the party died.
Oh.
Hi, I am Rox, the younger sibling of Gox and Sox. I fell. And I am Fox, the younger sibling of Gox, Sox, and Rox. Okay. And we'd have Wheelie, the sorcerer that has an interest in casting a lot of water magic.
14?
A 14 is not bad. That is not a bad roll. So you did a lot of damage in a small area with your thunderstep. And this huge fireball. It was aided a bit by the Starspawn Hulk doing a Hulk smash routine in the tunnel as well. So now I would... How are we going to do this? Give me... Most of the damage was done with your magic, so give me an arcana check to see how good you are at destroying things.
Okay, one moment while I check my skills.
It's plus two.
What? Roll low, roll low.
Okay.
Well, the congrats, tunnel... you got your wish.
Okay, so you have successfully not collapsed the tunnel.
Yay.
That's good.
That was probably the most terrifying non-event that we've had in this game so far. I was waiting to see what happened. I was very interested in this. That's great. That is awesome. Okay, so Gox, you were getting ready to smash this thing with your axe again, and now you're 30 feet back.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to go...
And a bit warmer.
And a bit warmer. Okay, so I want to run back up to this thing and hit him again.
It's like you're rubber banding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I roll.
And your movement is 40, so it works just fine.
Yeah, it'll work. So I rolled 15 on the dice.
Okay, and there's no advantage currently because...
Right.
Oh, well. You're the only one there. Everyone else is going to get advantage.
I didn't want to die.
Well, there is that.
There's that. So I just roll one.
So you roll a 15 on the die, you said, right?
Yes.
A 15... plus your bonus to hit will hit, because you have a plus six
okay.
hit, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I do. You're right.
Yes.
Okay. So it's just 1d10.
1d10.
Okay.
Plus a d6.
Okay, the d10 has a 4.
So, okay. So 7.
And the d6 has a 4. That's weird.
So 9 slashing plus 8 radiant.
Well, 4 slashing.
Yeah. And then reduce, yeah.
And a pen that doesn't want to write. Okay. This monster is resistant to damage. It is resistant to me marking damage. It's D&D Beyond all over again, but I'm putting this on paper.
Right, right. That?
Man, that's messed up. Okay, for your next trick.
Gonna do it again. Right, so did I do any damage? I did damage,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
You did damage.
Okay, so I'm going to hit him again. So I'm going to roll a 20. And I've got a 6 that time plus...
That's not going to do
whatever.
It.
Yeah,
that turns
okay.
into a 12. The 12 is not enough, unfortunately.
Okay.
You got
all
one
right,
good hit
so,
in
him. Yes.
And now you are the focus of this thing's rage.
Of course.
Which is good, because you're the tanky one.
Yep.
Okay. Next up is going to be Daldane.
Who was going to do something until Gox ran away.
Oh, well, I didn't know. Gox is raging. He's going to attack.
All right. I am... How far away are they?
30 feet.
30 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am going to run up and keeping Gox between me and the Hulk. I am going to use the DOS loot to cast Protection from Good and Evil on Gox.
Oh, thank you.
That's interesting.
Hmm.
Now, I keep thinking of how protection from evil and protection from good worked in older versions. In this version, it targets specific creatures with its protection, correct?
Yeah, it's aberrations, celestials, elementals, fey, fiends, and undead.
Okay, well, then this is definitely one of those creatures. It is an aberration.
I thought it might be. The creature has disadvantage on attack rolls against the target, and the target also can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them.
Nice.
Okay. The Hulk is quite charming. It was going to just like reach behind it during its next attack and pull out flowers, but no. Okay. Wasn't a thing. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it for right now.
Okay. So we are going back up to the start of the... initiative order, Sox. You are 30 feet away with your hand inside Zelia's component bag.
And hopefully find what I'm looking for.
You still have not found what you're looking for now.
What so are you looking for?
The diamond.
The one I used for chromatic orb?
Yeah. Give 2 seconds.
Fine. Here. Don't break it.
Take my put my hands over it and cast chromatic orb.
Huh.
I've been watching you.
Let's show Zeely how much you've learned.
That is a 19 to hit, and it's going to do fire damage.
Nice tribute.
Ooh, it's a lot of fire damage. 19 points of fire damage.
And it's not resistant to magical fire. I'm a little concerned because none of Zeely's fire attacks landed, and then this upstart young monk comes in and uses her components.
Hey, the fireball landed. It just only did half damage.
And this fiery chromatic orb that just got cast, he learned it from watching you, Zeely. He learned it from watching you. Two of the people in this group are too young to get the reference.
I get it.
Kids these days.
Hey, I've heard up on the classics. Reference.
We could talk about that.
And let's see, as a... Can I do that as a bonus action? Double checking. Yeah, as a bonus action. No, wait, I can't do it as a bonus action. It does a class on our strike. Never mind. Okay, good. Oh, wait, you can use this attack as your... Using the extra attack feature. Oh, I can do that. I can do a Radiant Sunbolt as a bonus action.
Okay, so do the second half of your 1-2 punch.
15 plus 7. That'll hit.
Okay.
9 radiant damage. I can be full on ranged. I was not aware of this.
All right. It is now the Hulk's turn. It takes a step back.
Interesting.
Well, remember when I had you roll an intimidation check?
Yeah. Did it work?
This is the first chance to do something since then.
It works.
I rolled a natural 1. It's scared of the angry little kobold that doesn't die. It's like human beings are quite large creatures, relatively speaking, and we will run from spiders.
Awesome.
So it just looks at you like,
well, does somebody want to go home?
And then it runs past you.
Which direction? Towards it's running past me.
It's not afraid of your friends. But you do get an attack of opportunity.
Yep, taking it. What do I roll, 20?
Just 120.
All right. That hit my keyboard. As did that one. Let me roll it the other way. Okay, that hit something else. More space.
I'm getting more filled with suspense.
Okay, I've rolled it. It has hit nothing. It is a 19.
That is a hit. Roll that wonderful 1d10 for damage.
All right. Got a 10.
I can't believe I'm saying this. How do you want to do this?
Oh, awesome. All right, I'm going to...
If you rolled less than a 10, it would have survived long enough to do an attack called Reaping Arms against all of your friends.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm going to hit it with my battle axe. What part can I reach? Like, what are my options here?
It's running past you. So anything that would not be within range, you could argue that you jumped to hit it.
Okay. I'm going to try to take off its head with the battle axe.
Okay.
Done. Uh-huh.
If you give me an athletics or acrobatics check, I will let you climb up it as it runs past you.
Okay. I've rolled a 16, and athletics is a +6.
That's sufficient. Okay, so as it runs past...
That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. You grab onto what passes for a belt that it's wearing, and climb up it, up its back, and plant your axe firmly in its neck. And as it keeps running, you keep pushing, and it gets to... Zeely and Sox, and then falls down, and the head rolls and stops at Sox's feet.
Awesome.
It's looking up at Sox.
Gox is very proud of himself now.
That's actually kind of fun.
Well, we got this one.
Oh, meanwhile, Daldane is still 30 feet away.
I was waiting to throw a fireball at something. Now give me my diamond back. I need that to cast Chromatic Orb.
There you go. I need to get me a component at some point.
Also, good job.
Thank you.
Okay, is this the only monster out here?
That's a wonderful question to ask at the 2 hour mark.
Well, we've left at the start of a battle before, so
I made Ellie laugh. I win. Okay, so perception checks.
Okay, I have an 18, and perception is +3.
Okay,
I rolled an 8, and I have a +8.
Wow, 20, not natural.
That's still pretty good.
I think this is the first time Zeeley's rolled higher than, like, an 8 on a perception check.
Okay, so Sox is contemplating the creature's head that's on the ground, perhaps even doing an Alas Poor Yorick thing, holding it up. I don't know. you add whatever flavor you want for this. I'm cool with it. Daldane is 30 feet away from the rest of the party. Didn't even get chance to do an attack of opportunity, which is a shame. But quite happy that this thing is dead and all of Daldane's friends are not. Zeely and Gox hear sounds, and you both turn simultaneously to look down the tunnel at multiple forms coming into the range of your dark vision.
Oh, no.
And they don't look happy. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight. To the sound of Zeely's maniacal laughter. I can think of no better way to end the game for the evening. That was fun. That was incredible. I have been Crash. I have been joined by a bunch of awesome people. Do they have anything to plug?
My website's Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got blogs, it's got podcasts, and it's got all the art I'm doing for Inktober somewhere in the Book of Jen store. And you can check out all that stuff if you like. It's at bookofjen.net.
My mother writes books and they're awesome. And you can find her webpage at, let me see if I can actually remember this, elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Yes.
Yes. You can find me on Azeroth Coast to Coast. It's a podcast. We talk about Blizzard games and World of Warcraft. It's azerothctc.com. Our new episode should be coming out today. We talk about BlizzCon and a lot of news that's coming up.
And you can visit my gaming-focused social network at elek.xyz. That's elekk.xyz.
We are all actually there, although Chris doesn't post anything.
I have too many social medias to worry about. I'm sorry.
So delete your Facebook.
My mother would murder me.
Have her get on elek.xyz.
She's already scared of Facebook, but uses it to talk to me.
So you could both talk on it, and then we'll have this conversation later. Never mind. Or not at all. Okay, thank you everyone for listening. We'll do this again next week and find out how everything gets murdered. All right. Bye.
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 Bye.